Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Mentorship Matters with Dave and Liz. And on this podcast, we share our thoughts on mentorship and career paths and how to succeed as a corporate and securities lawyer. And I'm Dave Lynn, and I'm very pleased to be joined today by my co-host, Liz Dunshee, as well as our wonderful guest, Jane Magnuson of the firm Edwards Magnuson. Jane is a certified executive coach and a former lawyer and legal director. And Jane has nearly two decades of experience as an attorney in big law, as a corporate executive, and as the founder. And with that experience, she specializes in coaching attorneys at law firms and corporations. And she works with leaders all around the world to navigate issues around leadership and business development and time management, as well as work-life integration. And prior to becoming a coach, Jane practiced at Sullivan & Cromwell and at Hogan Lovells in New York City, as well as Jackson Walker in Texas. And she also served as deputy general counsel and a strategic leadership team member at Citizens, Inc., which is a New York Stock Exchange-traded life insurance company. And she led risk management at National Instruments Corporation, a NASDAQ-traded technology company where Jane and I had the opportunity to work together for a number of years. Jane, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, Jane, we are very happy to have you here. And as Dave mentioned, you have had a lot of experience in the legal field, quite the impressive background there. You started as a corporate lawyer and eventually you transitioned to executive coaching. When we were planning the show, I know you mentioned that you feel like this is your calling, but can you tell us more about what inspired the shift into coaching and how your legal background has influenced your coaching approach?
Yeah, of course. So to answer this question, I'm going to go straight to the beginning of why I became a lawyer, because I feel that's very relevant. So I've always loved solving complex problems. I like being given something where I don't know what to do and have to sort of dig in and figure it out. And I also love working with people. And I feel these two passions of mine led me to an exciting career in corporate and securities law, where, as you know, Dave mentioned, I practiced at big firms and went in-house. And as I transitioned in-house at public companies and climbed the ladder and led teams, I found myself as a trusted ear for many of my colleagues on leadership and people issues, like, you know, helping colleagues navigate a tricky personality, you know, figure out how to have more impact and navigate career moves. And I noticed that I got so much fulfillment from the people and leadership side of things, much more than the technical aspect of practicing law. But I would feel that the turning point for me was when I hired my own executive coach. I was being groomed to be the next general counsel of a small public company. You know, being a GC of a public company was my dream ever since law school. But instead of feeling excited and motivated, I felt stuck, burned out, and angry, which really caught me by surprise. And this time, working harder and pushing through made things worse, not better. My whole life, this has been my winning strategy. But working with a coach helped me uncover the root cause of my burnout and misalignment and allowed me to chart a course forward. And the experience working with a coach was so transformational for me that I wanted to do the same for others. So since then, I got certified, launched my own executive coaching firm working with lawyers, and it's been a really incredible journey. And to your other question about how my legal background shapes my coaching, I'd say it shapes it a lot in terms of who I work with and the type of coaching I do. I tend to work with a lot of very accomplished and driven professionals, you know, think lawyers, you know, executives. And so my coaching style is very much tailored to that niche, which is very practical, results driven. And my clients leave each coaching session with clear next steps, which really helps move things forward in their worlds.
I imagine it helps too that you can understand where they're coming from and you've been in their shoes. So they probably feel more free to share with you because you can just pick up on things without having to go into all of the painful details about what it's like to be a lawyer.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
So Jane, what is coaching really, and how does that process differ from what we experience with mentorship?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question, Dave. And I'm going to start with a 10,000 foot view by saying that coaching and mentoring, I feel, have the same goal of helping someone get more of what they want, but they do so in very different ways. And I'm going to start with mentoring because that's what most people are familiar with. So if I use the analogy of a climbing a mountain, I would say mentoring is getting advice from someone who already climbed the mountain you're facing. They're at the top. They've done it. They know the shortcuts. and they can share what worked for them. So it's very directive and experience-based, and it's great when your path aligns with the mentors. So in a law firm, it might look like a partner talking with an associate on how to build a book of business. They might be saying, you know, I did this, this worked for me, that this didn't, and here's how I might do if I were in your shoes. Coaching, on the other hand, is different. It's like climbing that mountain with a Sherpa who's walking alongside the path with you. The coach or the Sherpa isn't giving you the answers or telling you what to do. Instead, they're helping you find their own. And they do that by asking powerful questions. They may reflect your thinking back to you, and in doing so, they help you come up with more insights and cover what might be keeping you stuck. And that's because coaching is based on the philosophy that the client is a subject matter expert in their situation and their life. Most clients are really smart. They have all the resources and insights and answers to what they want to accomplish, but they just might be a little stuck in their situation and not seeing the full picture. And the belief is that sometimes we just need a little space and support to access more insights. Going back to that same example of the partner and the associate in terms of building their book of business, but the associate's a little stuck, the coach would act as a thought partner to help the associate explore their own thinking and next steps. The coach might ask questions like, well, you know, what does success in business development in a year look like? What do you need to do more of based on what you've done before, what you like, what you're good at? And, you know, what feels hard and how can we remove the obstacles together? And lastly, how do you design small goals to help you move in the direction that feels aligned with who you are?
It sounded like in your experience prior to when you became a coach, when you were working with a coach, it sounds like they also, in terms of reflecting back to you, helped you maybe realize the emotions that you were struggling with and whether or not you would be able to overcome those if you stayed in the field versus kind of shifting gears. And that sounds like that was really valuable too.
Yeah, it was an incredibly valuable because sometimes we don't see the full picture, and just having someone reflect things back, somehow you're able to see things differently, connect the dots, and somehow, you know, you come up with your own solutions that you might not have had.
Yeah. What would you say are the benefits of both mentorship and coaching?
Yeah, I feel there are so many benefits, and both mentorship and coaching really complement each other. And because as I look back in my legal career, mentors have opened doors for me at the firms and the companies I've worked at. I remember working as a junior associate in big law and seeing how a mentor helped me get on deals that I wouldn't have otherwise gotten on. Another gave me advice on what it really took to succeed in big law. And I felt those nuggets of wisdom were invaluable. I couldn't have otherwise gotten these. And I recall when I worked in-house, my mentors, who was a GC and the CEO, gave me advice on how to be a trusted advisor and how to own the room, which I felt really benefited my career. And one even gave me a book recommendation that changed my life. And coaching has also helped me a lot, but I would say in a different way. Working with coaches has really helped me go inward to get clear on what I want and understand what's keeping me stuck on making strides towards what I want and help me move forward. And for me, it was, you know, the burnout, how to navigate, you know, the thorny career issues. And now as a coach, I've seen how working with others can really help provide life-changing support. That's because it's all about exploring our thinking and helping you expand it. Because I believe when our thinking changes, we can show up differently and get different results. And by doing that, you know, our world changes.
You recommend people look for when they're seeking out a mentor or seeking out a coach? What are the attributes that someone should be evaluating?
Yeah, so a few things come to mind here. First, I think chemistry is really important. You want to feel safe and a sense of connection with a mentor or a coach. So, you know, you want to understand whether they get you. Do you trust them? Does it feel like they have your best interests at heart? Because this is someone you're going to be spending some time with. And I think the second attribute or something I would look for is experience. With mentors, I'd look for someone who's walked the path that you're looking to walk and you're looking to learn from their journey and their experience and their wisdom. And for coaches, I'd look for someone who's credentialed and, as Liz mentioned earlier, like someone who gets you because they have that legal and the leadership experience. So they can truly understand your world and meet you where you are. And the third thing sounds simple, but it's really important, which is time, right? You can have the best mentor in the world, but if they don't have time for you, they're probably not a good fit for you. And that's the same with a coach. You want someone who's willing to invest that time with you. And that's really key.
And you probably have to be at a point where you can invest the time too, because we can talk about it and read great books and get good advice. But if you're not able to implement the strategies, then it kind of is a waste.
Yeah, and I feel like most of us know what we have to do, but the implementation is still hard because the discomfort creeps in, and then all a million excuse like I'm too busy. So having a mentor or a coach help you stay on course, I would say it's invaluable.
Yeah, I think so too, especially if you analogize to like if you're in a sport and you have a coach, there are moments where you feel like you are plateauing or you're just not able to push through, and to have somebody who can coach you through those moments is so helpful, and that's how you get to the next level. So in your experience as a mentor before you became a coach and as a coach now, have you observed strategies that lawyers can use throughout their career to identify opportunities and advance in their career path?
Yes. A strategy that I observe people don't, and I've done personally in my career, is to zoom out. I feel like most of us don't do this enough, but it's such a powerful strategy that is very effective. So, and what I mean by zoom out is to picture yourself at the end of your life. You know, think about what you want your career to look like. What do you want to be known for? What impact do you want to leave at work in the world? You know, and I would go big here because, again, it's aspirational. This picture should be exciting and energize you. And once you're clear on kind of your end goal and what you want, I think it helps to reverse engineer a plan. And what I mean by that is to think about what you need to do to advance towards that vision that you want. And I like to think about that in a few different buckets, you know, like work, people, tools, habit. So for work, think about, you know, what type of projects you should be involved in. Is it more client-facing projects that can raise your public profile? Is it presenting at conferences? Is it building relationships with your top 10 clients that will help you get toward your vision? And on the people piece is, you know, thinking about who you need to connect with or strengthen the relationship or just get to know. And I would think about this broadly in terms of up, down, across, you know, outside your organization and inside. And it might seem overwhelming, so just pick two, you know, relationships to kind of start nurturing. And tools, you know, what skills you have to develop. And that could be like the technical legal skills or the softer skills like influence and communication and delegation. And lastly is the habits, like what behaviors do you have to do more of or less? Because we all have those habits that keep us stuck. And once you're clear on what you have to do at a more concrete level is to take action. And it sounds easier said than done, because oftentimes it's getting into that unknown, uncomfortable new space, right? But I think it helps to remember that growth often lives outside of your comfort zone, and nobody achieves greatness by just staying in the comfort zone. And I think the last strategy that I want to mention is to share your ambitions with those that you work with, especially, you know, your trusted mentors, your boss, or those in leadership position who can actually move the needle. I believe that most people want to help you, but they need to know what you're aiming for so they can be relevant and help you.
Two questions that I wanted to close out with. The first one being, I'd be very interested in hearing that book recommendation that you got that changed your life, if you wouldn't mind sharing that. And secondly, are there particular attributes or practices or approaches that you've observed in leaders over the course of your career where you saw people who really were able to be successful and flourish in their life and career? And do you have any advice for us as to what we can do to sort of aspire to those sorts of attributes or practices?
Yeah. So the book is called Obstacles is the Way, and it's written by a guy called, his last name is Holiday. I think he was a CMO of a big corporation. And the whole premise is that every circumstance can be turned into an opportunity or a gift if you kind of reframe and focus on seeing the positive. And I think it's really empowering. And going to your second question about basically the key attributes, I would say, you know, the leaders that I've worked with and coached that flourish tend to have a few of these key attributes. I would say it's inner clarity. I think we touched on this earlier about kind of knowing your end goal, right? These leaders have a strong sense of who they are, what matters to them, and what success looks like. So they tend to operate with a clear internal compass, which I refer to the North Star, that kind of guides their priorities and decision making. And the second is sort of related to that, is intentionality. Once you're clear on your end goal, they're thoughtful about how they spend their time. They tend to invest their time in the things that really are important and move the needle for their career, which oftentimes are building strong relationships, developing the people in their team, and honestly, self-care, taking care of themselves so they can lead at their best over the long run. And I would say the last attribute that I want to touch upon is it's being human, right? These leaders care about others as human beings. They're open, and they tend to operate with a mindset that those that they work with are doing their best. And so if someone is struggling, they kind of approach the situation more with empathy and curiosity rather than judgment and assuming they're just bad people because they're failing. And in terms of how to cultivate these qualities, I would say it helps to set aside time for reflection. And I know this is really hard because sometimes it can feel like you're going 100 miles an hour all the time in the legal world. But it really does help to kind of pause and get off that wheel sometimes to ask yourself, how am I showing up and what's in my control to do things differently? Because oftentimes we have a lot more control than we think. And the last thing that I want to talk about is to build your A game as a tool to helping you cultivate those attributes. Many lawyers are smart, they're driven, and they pride themselves on being independent, which I believe can take you very far. But having support can take you even further and make their journey less alone. So with that, I'd surround yourself with peers who are on similar journeys, mentors that you admire, and coaches who can support you in going after that bigger goal, which might seem a little out of reach at first.
Those are great insights, and that's great advice for all of us to go back and implement and pause and think about our big picture. And I think too, you know, we've been having some conversations in this series about the impact of AI, and I'm sure that will continue to be a topic of conversation. But the points that you make about the human element and the connections, you know, that's probably going to be the differentiating factor for success in the future because the AI is going to be doing all the complicated analysis for us. So it's just only going to get more important.
Yeah, I really believe that. I think AI will make a lot of our lives a lot more fun and automating all those boring things. And I think it's to your point, focus on the human quality because that's what helps people get out of bed to go to work. And that's what makes work more joyful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jane, for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the podcast and just for talking about these such important topics that don't often get enough attention. So thank you for the important work that you do.
It's our pleasure. And for those who are listening, we want to thank everyone as well. Stay tuned for future episodes of Mentorship Matters with Dave and Liz. And if you have a topic or a guest who you think would be great for the podcast, feel free to contact Dave or me by LinkedIn or by email. Thanks, everyone.